When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Reality radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Well, once again, it's a Don-only edition of Talking Real Money. Hi, I'm Don McDonald. Thanks for being there. I truly am excited you're there. I'm so glad you listen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And by the way, thank you to all of you who just tried out Talking Real Money coming over from Stacking Benjamins, where I'm now a semi-recurring character. Thanks for listening, and I hope you like it, and you keep doing so. Today, I want to talk about, and I hope you don't mind me talking about, the state of financial advice. This is my state of financial advice address. And let me tell you, the state of financial advice around the world is pretty pathetic. It's generally really bad, and most of it is an utter waste of time. But even worse, it's a huge money destroyer. Most financial advice destroys wealth, not builds it. And until you realize it, you're just going to keep getting ruined by those who want you to jump when they say jump, because if you say jump when they say jump, their bank account balances jump. They get rich getting you to do things, and you shouldn't be doing too many things. As a matter of fact, when it comes to investing, the less you do, the better off you probably are. John Bogle told a joke a long time ago that ended with the punchline, "Don't just do something, sit there." Because that's actually really good advice. But most of the media doesn't make money giving that kind of advice. I remember many years ago interviewing Knight Kiplinger and asking about his, you know, the 10 stocks to buy today headlines. And he goes, "If we didn't do those, nobody would buy the magazine." See? It's self-interest. So the financial services industry is serving itself more than it's serving you. And that starts right at the top, right there, you know, with guys like Jim Cramer, who was once a hedge fund manager. And I have yet to see a hedge fund manager who does well consistently over a long period of time. They just don't exist. They just don't exist. They're the occasional anecdote, but there's no data to support their claims that they can make the market work for you in up markets and down markets. It just doesn't work that way. But Cramer wants you to believe it. A couple of weeks ago, I happened to see online one of his videos, and it was how to spot a market that's reached its bottom, which I know is impossible to do. Now, this episode was right after the stock market took a big dip. So a lot of people were thinking, is this the bottom?
So you probably ask yourself, when is it safe to start bottom fishing? Maybe you started already. Well, that is the question after another hideous day, Dow plunging 346 points, S&P down 1.34%, and the darn nasty NASDAQ nosedive 2.11%. The answer? Well, there are a lot of different ways to spot a bottom. And while a bounce might be in sight, it sure makes sense after all this relentless selling. An actual bottom, it may commit where you can commit a lot of capital. No, too many stages away to feel on solid ground. So let's go outside the world of dollars and cents and talk about something that we may all understand from psychology class. Yes, let's talk about the five stages of stock market grief. We got denial, we got anger, we got bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. Right now, even after a 6% decline, we still got a ton of denial. And that's just the first stage. People don't want to believe the sell-off is real. The market's been so good for so long, and many newer investors have never seen this kind of pummeling. So the downdraft does seem pretty surreal.
Now, you notice what he's about to do here. He's about to usurp another science to help you predict the future. And he's using those five stages of grief. And his point is, after everybody has capitulated, everybody says, I hate stocks, I don't want to be there anymore, and they just accept that the stock market is going to stink forever, that is the time for you to buy back in. Well, let me tell you the reality. When the market has fallen for a long period of time, nobody feels like buying stocks yet. What everybody waits for is the signal that they're going to be going back up, and you never get that signal. For his trick to work, you actually have to buy when everybody has already sold and hates stocks, and all the headlines say it's going to get worse from here, because that's the reality. They're going to tell you it's going to get worse from here. I've never in my entire career in this industry, spanning well over 30 years, I have never seen anyone consistently and accurately predict both market tops and market bottoms. And you have to predict both. You have to get out at the top. You can't get out at the bottom. And then when it feels the worst, you have to commit a lot of money back into the stock market, which is why dollar cost averaging works, because it makes you do it good times and bad. That's why buying and holding works, because the stock markets around the planet have in the past gone up more than they've gone down. Will they continue to do that? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you, if they don't continue to do that, you're not going to care where your money is. If the stock markets around the world fall forever, they never go back up, that means we're over as a species. So that advice is not even worth bothering with. Why listen? Plus, he talks so fast. I don't know how anybody can listen to him. People told me I talk fast, but wow, Jim. Anyway, then we get to all the online advice. And just recently in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article entitled "Investing, Not Gambling." Oh my gosh, I'm all in favor of that. These apps and services help young stock buyers think long term. And then a Julie Jargon goes through and lists a number of apps that are supposed to help you think long term. But wait, there's one of them that allows you to compete in a fantasy stock picking game where you learn to invest before putting in real money in stocks. No, 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 no. That's not investing. That's still gambling, just longer term gambling. Then there are others that try to help you learn how to research stocks so that you can buy your own. And that's a flawed premise right there. And it's logical that it's flawed. See, this is what I love about real investing, is it's totally logical. There are thousands of professional, active stock pickers out there. Thousands, maybe tens of them, probably tens of thousands. And all of them have access to incredible research, and most of that research, oh, let's say all of that research, is better than what you're going to get online. Seriously. You don't know the things that they know. And the reality is that even given the things that they know, there is actual academic research that shows, and it has shown over and over and over and over and over and over. How many times over do we have to show you this? Over and over and over, that actively managed investment vehicles don't work long term. They don't perform any better. Yes, there are some who do once in a while. Yeah, they do, like Kathy Wood and her ARK thing. But in almost every case, less than 1%, less than 1% show any kind of skill, the potential of any kind of skill. The others who outperform the 99 or 99.4%, every bit of outperformance they've ever shown is more logically attributable to luck than to skill. So yes, you might get lucky, but if you're investing and you're relying on luck to make money, are you really investing? Or are you speculating? Also known as, you know the word, gambling. I know the way we suggest you invest is boring. It's dull. But if you could have, let's say you're in your 60s today, and if you could have invested over the last 40 years and consistently seen your wealth build and grow by 8, 9, maybe even 10% per year, you would have been pretty happy with that. And that's exactly what would have happened in the past had you just invested and left it the heck alone. As long as you had the proper, massive, ridiculously crazed diversification. Which, by the way, in addition to having had made you money in the past, it also has dramatically reduced volatility in the past. Two good things that go great together. Do you have a question about managing money? Hey, call 24/7 at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, or you can go to talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com, type in a question, or even better, if you have a good mic on your computer, even a halfway decent mic, record your question because it sounds really good on the podcast, kind of like this.
Hi, my name is Jane, and I'm calling with a Roth IRA question. My son is 18, and he has worked since he's been 14 years old and has approximately $30,000 in his Roth. I spoke with my financial advisor from Fidelity, and I had his he and I talked about it, had his money in a mutual fund that was a retirement fund for a late date. And my advisor mentioned that I should switch it all over to a large cap growth, Fidelity large cap growth, which I did. And it goes up and down. But with considering how much time he has, should I leave that money where it is, or should I invest it into a total world index fund? I'm just looking for some clarity for how to invest that money for him, knowing that he's not going to touch it, hopefully until he's 60 years old, at least. Thank you.
Your son is going to be so secure in his retirement. You have just got to be proud of this boy. I am, and he's not mine. Wow. That is so, so impressive. What's not impressive is the advice of your idiot Fidelity advisor. That's just bad advice. That's terrible advice. What he's trying to do is what everybody else tries to do. They're trying to tell you what the next hot thing will be based on what the hot thing has been. And yeah, large cap growth has been hot. Does that mean it will be in the future? I don't know, but would I want to bet all of my future wealth on just large cap growth stocks? No, that's horrible advice. It really truly is, particularly when Fidelity offers such wonderful, diversified choices. I mean, your son is young. Oh my gosh, time is so on his side. He should be as aggressive as he can stand being, which should be a lot of aggressive at this age. And remember that every time he puts new money into his Roth and the market's down, He should be cheering because he's buying stuff on sale. He should actually be excited about down markets. He should. He should be more excited about down markets than up markets. He should be excited about up markets when he gets older. And if the past is prelude in any way, shape, or form, if you look at a map of the, or a chart, or a map, you call it a map, it's a hilly map. You look at a chart of the stock market and it does, squint your eyes up, it goes straight up. Oh yeah, there's downs in there. But for the most part, over his time frame, which is 50 years, gee whiz. If the company, if the world totally, you know, blows up, then he's not going to make any money. Otherwise, I can't see how he would miss being very wealthy doing what he's doing. And what I would do is go to talkingrealmoney.com. And all you do on the main page is you just scroll down to what the section called popular show topics. And you'll see three funds at three groups. Now, if you're paying his Fidelity advisor a fee for advice, fire that Fidelity advisor and just use your Fidelity brokerage account. And he should just mix that money almost 50-50. Between the Fidelity Total Market Index and the Fidelity Total International Index. They're low-cost funds, massively diversified. Let them ride. Every year or so, rebalance. For example, if we have a great international year over the next year and international gets to 60 and his U.S. stocks are at 40, rebalance back to 50-50. But otherwise, stop dealing with this advisor. He's not good. And if you personally are paying him to help you manage your money, yeah, you need to fire him. He's truly, that is incompetent market timing kind of advice. It's disappointing, and it leads me to believe he's not really a fiduciary advisor, but if he in fact is, then he's not a particularly competent one. Send in your questions at talkingrealmoney.com or give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, and if your question is more involved than the last one, if you've got a really complicated portfolio, you've got statements laying around, you know, you're doing your taxes and you're looking at all these statements and going, I'm so confused about what I own. I don't know how diversified I am. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to have in the future. Am I going to have enough money to retire? Well, bug us. This is what we do, and this is what we've done since Tom and I founded a firm called Vestory about 2009, is we've tried to make sure everybody gets educated about money, whether or not they ever become a Vestory client. So we've been offering free, honest-to-goodness, no obligation, no cost, no sales pressure meetings to anybody who asks. And the easiest way to do it is just to go to vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com, and make an appointment. Right there. You just make an appointment. You make it for when it's convenient for you, and we will find somebody for you to talk to. So go do it. Or call us at 800-386-3004, or call the podcast or the radio show at 855-935-TALK, or visit talkingrealmoney.com. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm going to plead with you to tell friends. Oh, one more thing before we go. Oh, yeah. It was like a week ago. I read I think we've only gotten two bad reviews ever. And the two of them didn't like me. It was me. Mainly it was me. I get it. I can be divisive. But I want to thank the five of you who came in immediately after and wrote more positive reviews. That was really nice. That made me smile. So thank you. You can leave reviews at Apple Podcasts. And I think I'm done for today. Next couple of days, it'll be a joint venture between Tom and myself. So keep listening. Thanks for being there. I'm Don McDonald. Always hanging out, talking real money.
Talking real money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs. programs that say something similar. Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That's a wrap.